Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Just Medicine, a cure for racial inequality in American healthcare. By Dana Bowen Matthew. Narrated by Diana Blue. Publisher's note: this audiobook refers to figures included in the print and ebook editions of the book. By Justice, a king gives a country stability. Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 4, New International Version. Preface to paperback edition. Many important social and scientific changes relevant to achieving a just and equitable healthcare system have occurred since this book was first published in 2015. Some are positive. First, a broad commitment to health equity has emerged on the part of healthcare providers. Health equity goals, programs, and strategies have been adopted by virtually every organization that delivers medical care in the nation. Providers now, with near unanimity, articulate a commitment to ensuring that everyone has a fair and just opportunity to be healthy. This goal means different things to different actors. At minimum, it means mitigating illness and death from avoidable and clinically unnecessary differences among people and populations. Broadly, it means creating the culture of health that not only identifies health disparities, but implements policies, systems, and laws to reduce unequal access to social determinants, such as fair-paying jobs, basic education, decent housing, safety, and quality health care. A second set of changes has to do with our understanding of implicit bias. The term unconscious racism, as well as a basic understanding of the phenomenon it describes, has made its way from the annals of social psychology and philosophy textbooks into the cultural discourse of employers and employees, politicians, teachers, police officers, journalists, and of course, healthcare providers, payers, and consumers. It is now generally understood that everyone thinks negatively about some other people without intending to. The habit of assigning people to groups and then reacting according to the traits associated with those categories is now accepted as a given, even if we cannot agree on the extent to which these thoughts influence, affect, or harm others, or how to measure the biases themselves. Some of the changes pertinent to finding a cure for inequity in American healthcare are decidedly negative. Chief amongst them is the dreadful resurgence of racism, overt and covert, which has made a comeback in America. Over the past 2 years, violent and deadly mobs have felt at liberty to terrorize people on the streets of cities like Charlottesville, Virginia. The incidents of hate crimes directed at Jews, Muslims, immigrants, and the LGBTQ communities has spiked, and hate-filled rhetoric fills the airways, social media, and even passes for public policy in governments that appeal to the fears of an increasingly segregated public. Finally, by every conceivable measure, education, employment, income, wealth, poverty, arrests and incarceration, and food security, inequities that separate those with advantages from the disadvantaged in America are severe and worsening to levels not experienced in this country since the Great Depression of the 1930s. All this means that this book, and a fresh look at the lessons it contains, is more important today than ever before. With one final important difference, the lens now must be population-based. To eradicate inequity in American healthcare, it is no longer sufficient to look at discrimination only in healthcare. We must look at how racism, bias, and discrimination infect all of the social determinants of health, both historically and contemporarily. Providers must understand that their patients who belong to racial and ethnic minorities are affected by discriminatory housing practices, mortgage lending, maintenance of substandard conditions, properties, evictions, accommodations. All aspects of housing for minority residents and homeowners have been infiltrated by ugly, health-harming racial and ethnic biases. inequitable discipline in schools, disproportionately high arrest rates, sentencing, and exposure to violence scar children and adults for life. We are only now beginning to fully appreciate how stress, anxiety, and serious mental illness associated with discrimination and racial violence adversely impacts the health of vulnerable communities. Those wishing to implement the healthcare delivery model outlined in this book must make room for these structural concerns. Training a generation of de-biased providers is an essential and necessary component of reducing health disparities. However, those de-biased individuals must appreciate their roles as caregivers within a social context where racial and ethnic biases adversely impact every facet of their patients' lives and health, particularly their patients who are members of Black, Latinx, and Native American communities, if these providers hope to deliver quality health care and give these patients a fair opportunity to live healthy lives. In short, to cure racial inequality in American health care, doctors, nurses, administrators, social workers, psychologists, dentists, physician's assistants, and all of us who are patients must now account for and take aim at the impacts of racial and ethnic inequality in healthcare and in each of the social determinants of health. This book offers a way to approach this task by providing a framework for critical self-evaluation and reform within the healthcare delivery system and a prescription for changes beyond healthcare. Now, more than ever before, we need the tools offered in Just Medicine. Introduction. The New Normal. For the past 30 years, medical doctors, social scientists, psychologists, policy analysts, jurists, and a wide spectrum of healthcare providers have been studying and discussing health inequality in America. Meanwhile, by one estimate, 83,570 minority patients die annually due to healthcare disparities. Black and brown patients consistently receive inferior medical treatment, fewer angiographies, bypass surgeries, organ transplants, cancer tests and resections, less access to pain treatment, rehabilitative services, asthma remedies, and nearly every other form of medical care than their white counterparts. Yet, minority patients are sicker and more likely to die than whites from a wide range of diseases and illnesses for which we have data. Certainly, this picture is complicated. For example, health and illness for all racial and ethnic groups follow a social gradient so that minority populations, which disproportionately occupy low socioeconomic strata, also predictably suffer relatively worse health outcomes than whites do. Although it is popular to blame the poor for their poor health by pointing to risky health behaviors, careful studies of nationally represented populations conclude that the significantly higher prevalence of cigarette smoking, alcohol consumption, obesity, and physical inactivity are only one aspect of the relationship between lower socioeconomic status and poor health. Moreover, behavioral disparities must not be taken out of their societal context, where unequal exposure to the stress of discrimination, inequitable access to healthy food and built environments, and inferior access to resources generally are integrally associated with many racial and ethnic differences in health behavior. In fact, racial and ethnic differences in health treatment and outcomes persist in multiple studies even after controlling for differences in insurance status, income, education, geography, and socioeconomic status. Researchers have identified numerous structural and individual determinants of these disparities at all levels. These include socioeconomic circumstances such as poverty, inferior education, and segregated housing conditions, along with lack of access to healthy food choices or recreational facilities, systemic and organizational contributors such as medical practice settings and sources of insurance, and geographic proximity to care. The economic and social conditions, called social determinants of health, often drive patient-specific contributors to poor health, such as poor family health history, diet, and low physical activity. All have been shown to contribute to the disparity of health outcomes experienced by ethnic and racial minority patients in the United States. However, this book is about the single most important determinant of health disparities that is not being widely discussed in straightforward terms. This determinant is racial and ethnic discrimination against minority patient populations, an incontrovertibly significant contributor to health inequality. The evidence that the majority of Americans involuntarily harbor anti-minority prejudices makes it impossible, even immoral, not to examine the impact of unconscious racism on health and healthcare. Therefore, this book makes a thorough examination of the scientific evidence that does exist to confirm that providers discriminate against patients and patients discriminate against providers. This cycle of discrimination produces inequality throughout the healthcare system. The inequality itself is not news, but the fact that it is avoidable challenges the complacency that allows the racial and ethnic discrimination that produces them to persist. This book calls for providers, patients, scientists, and jurists to face the uncomfortable truth that although overt racism, prejudice, and bigotry may have subsided in America, racial and ethnic injustice, unfairness, and even segregation in American healthcare have not. The most tragic proof that racial and ethnic injustice is alive and well is the phenomenon we politely call health disparities. The message of this book is that a significant cause of these health disparities is the unconscious racial and ethnic bias that infects our delivery system. Implicit racial and ethnic biases in healthcare are harmful, avoidable, and unjust. This book charts a way to deal with health and healthcare disparities as injustices, not merely as inevitable byproducts of human nature or a phenomenon subordinate to biological and social differences. Instead, the argument made here is that health inequality due to unconscious discrimination is a structural malady in need of a systemic cure. This book lays bare a disturbing contradiction. On one hand, injustice and equality are anathema to our professed national identity. Yet, on the other hand, unconscious bias has become an entrenched and acceptable social norm, empirically demonstrated to control decision makers not only in healthcare, but in civil and criminal justice proceedings, law enforcement, employment, media, and education. Unconscious racism has become the new normal. Thus, to defeat inequality due to unconscious racism in healthcare, individuals as well as institutions must realign themselves away from this social norm that is incongruous with the core underlying values to which our nation's doctors, patients, and healthcare professionals expressly aspire. The solutions this book proposes are comprehensive. They have their origin in law, and to some, this may seem radical, but they are solutions grounded in a historical and empirical record. The solutions are further supported by original, qualitative interviews reported here. These narratives allow doctors, nurses, and patients to bring their voices and real-life experiences to bear on a worthy cause, achieving justice and equity in American healthcare. Chapter 1 recounts the historical origins of legally enforced discrimination that have laid the structural foundations for African, Asian, Hispanic, and Native Americans to suffer inferior health outcomes in the United States since this country's inception. I argue that law has directly influenced the differences in health and healthcare experiences between minorities and whites throughout our nation's history. When laws enforced slavery, segregation, and nationalism, minority health fared poorly. During the periods of our history when civil rights laws were effectively used to desegregate health care and to promote equal access, health care disparities improved. Today, however, traditional civil rights laws have become irrelevant in the effort to bring justice to health care. Those anti-discrimination laws punish only outright bigotry and the most virulent forms of racism. Now that these forms of overt racism are out of vogue and mostly absent from the healthcare system, the rule of law has been neutralized and no longer controls racial discrimination. Therefore, the great American tradition of running two separate and unequal medical systems for white and non-white patients is back. Chapter 2 explains the nature and evidence of discrimination in contemporary healthcare. The quantitative and qualitative data gathered in this chapter explain that healthcare providers unintentionally discriminate against racial and ethnic minority patients, and that their unintentional discrimination directly and substantially contributes to ethnic and racial healthcare disparities. Moreover, the evidence also shows that patients hold implicit biases and thus react to providers' discrimination through the lens of their own experiences with race bias and inequity. The result is a viciously reciprocal cycle of miscommunication between doctors and patients that ultimately harms patients' health. When patients perceive or experience discrimination arising from implicit biases, they respond rationally by seeking to minimize the reoccurrence of the offense. Thus, minority patients are more likely to switch providers, less likely to follow up or adhere to their doctor's advice, and more likely to generally distrust their providers. Decreased patient satisfaction and decreased continuity of care follow to the detriment of minority health outcomes. Much of the current discourse on health disparities blames the victim, charging patients with non-adherence and with poor diet and living choices, or alleging the existence of biologically based justifications for inequality. My analysis of patient bias does not belong to this genre. Instead, I employ the evidence that patients unconsciously react negatively to unconscious racism to explain how implicit bias is a culprit on both sides of the clinical encounter, which occurs within a structurally unsound environment that in turn reinforces bias. Chapter 3 presents a preponderance of evidence showing that providers' disparate treatment of their minority patients is closely associated with their implicit racial and ethnic biases. This chapter identifies physicians' unconscious racism as a primary contributor to health disparities. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 present the biased care model, one of this book's core contributions to advance our understanding of health and healthcare disparities. The biased care model organizes the best social science literature on implicit bias into a conceptual framework to answer important but hitherto unresolved questions raised by the Institute of Medicine in its landmark 2003 report on American healthcare disparities. Specifically, the biased care model identifies the mechanisms by which implicit biases affect disparate health outcomes. The model explains how health providers continue to discriminate against minority patients, even as polls and surveys tell us that most Americans, especially doctors, are decidedly not racists. The model's mechanisms are grounded in empirical literature and are supported by the voices of doctors and patients whose interviews confirm the presence and influences of implicit biases in their clinical experiences. Thus, the rich qualitative and quantitative data that supports the biased care model spans three chapters. Chapter 4 describes the impact implicit biases have before a physician and patient meet. Chapter 5 discusses the role of implicit biases during the clinical encounter. And Chapter 6 examines the mechanisms that permit implicit biases to continue contributing to health disparities even after the clinical encounter ends. The questions these chapters confront are tough, and the facts are uncomfortable. The answers the biased care model provides fill an important void in our understanding of the way health inequalities evolve, and thus they lay the foundation for fashioning evidence-based policy solutions. Chapter 7 introduces an evidentiary game changer in the discourse about addressing implicit bias in healthcare. This chapter explains the social science evidence that implicit racial and ethnic biases are malleable. Contrary to popular fiction, unconscious racism is neither inevitable or unalterable. This chapter is full of evidence that confirms that the habit of acting out one's implicit racial biases can be changed. Therefore, the chapter concludes, healthcare providers and the institutions that employ them can be held morally responsible for addressing the inequities these biases cause. This chapter opens the way for structural responses to the health disparity crisis. The next chapter explains why responding to this crisis is not only a moral responsibility, but also, appropriately, a legal one. Chapter 8 answers the question that will plague many healthcare providers who listen to this book, especially those who are sympathetic to the cause of justice and equality in healthcare. Why do we need a law to deal with implicit bias? The short answer is that other avenues will simply not work. Political efforts at universalizing access, regulatory efforts at enforcing cultural competency, and private efforts at doing the right thing have all failed. At best, these well-intentioned efforts have only reinforced the culture in which it is assumed that explicit racial motives have little remaining influence on health disparities today. Implicit biases are not entirely impervious to these programs and policies, but the public health policy literature helps to explain why they are insufficient solutions. The more complete answer is that healthcare disparities are rooted in structural inequities and therefore require a structural solution. Consequently, the legal reforms I propose will change the context in which healthcare is delivered and shift the social norm that has tolerated health inequality for far too long. The policy problem presented by healthcare disparities has both the good and bad fortune to be a latecomer to the list of complex practical conundrums that fundamentally challenge broad, constitutionally protected American values such as racial equality and justice, but require interventions at the intersection of law and science to solve. For example, law has joined with scientific expertise to help regulate the evolving challenges presented by climate change, genetically modified foods, and pharmacogenomics, just to name a few examples. Accordingly, Chapter 8 makes the case for strengthening legal interventions to promote health equality. Chapter 9 proposes concrete reforms founded on legal and scientific solutions to the problem of racial and ethnic health disparities. This chapter challenges current anti-discrimination law's naive assumption that humans act solely in accordance with their explicit and conscious intentions. In fact, the scientific evidence indicates that we all act much more consistently with our unconscious and implicit intentions. I compare the assumptions about human behavior that underlie the current law to what we know about real human behavior as it impacts health and health care, and I argue that anti-discrimination law should better match reality. I conclude with an appeal for action directed towards four stakeholder groups I hope to impact most: social scientists, healthcare providers, law and policymakers, and patients. I ask each group to consider its role in eradicating health inequality and to consider this book's broader implications for the fight for racial and ethnic equality beyond healthcare. While my focus here is on unconscious racism, I do not overlook other determinants of health disparities that will not succumb to legal remedies. Changing only the law will not solve the socioeconomic disparities that lie at the foundation of our society and produce the poor health experienced by many poor people. Yet neither do I use the complexity of the problem and its causes as an excuse to avoid forthrightly addressing the pervasiveness of discriminatory health care. I also cannot shrink from confronting implicit racial bias due to a seemingly paralyzing fear that doing so is the equivalent of charging healthcare providers with outright racism and bigotry. The cure for this paralysis is an accurate understanding that implicit and unconscious biases are facts of American life that contradict and work against most Americans' true intentions. Physicians are no exception. They need not be racist to discriminate against racial minorities. Nevertheless, discrimination due to implicit bias must be addressed because it unnecessarily decreases the quality and length of life of people in this country who are not white. Distinguishing overt from unconscious racism frees us to honestly and candidly address the problem of providers' implicit bias. In the process, we will hear that the scientific evidence is legally sufficient to warrant or even mandate reform of anti-discrimination law. I reach one primary conclusion in this book. It is that the presently available social science evidence associating implicit racial and ethnic bias with health disparities provides a morally compelling and legally sufficient basis for legal action. A sufficient stack of further research, the social scientist's beloved refrain, could not be generated fast enough to slow the devastating effects of implicit bias on the lives of tens of thousands of minority patients each year. Ignoring health disparities due to discrimination is costly. In addition to the nearly 84,000 people of color who needlessly lose their lives annually due to health disparities, there are significant economic burdens imposed by healthcare discrimination. A 2009 report by the Joint Centers for Political and Economic Studies estimated that eliminating health disparities would have reduced direct medical care expenditures by $229.4 billion and indirect costs due to illness and premature death by approximately $1 trillion during 2003 to 2006. Therefore, this book unites the medical, neuroscientific, psychological, and sociological expertise on the issue of implicit bias and health disparities with the powerful influence of explicit and enforceable rules of law to devise an effective and innovative plan to reduce implicit biases in healthcare and eliminate the inequity they cause so that all in America can enjoy a just, humane healthcare system regardless of color, race, or national origin. Chapter 1. Bad law makes bad health. Sickness is not just an isolated event, nor an unfortunate brush with nature. It is a form of communication, the language of the organs through which nature, society, and culture speak simultaneously. The individual body should be seen as the most immediate, the proximate terrain where social truths and social contradictions are played out. Nancy Shepherd Hughes and Margaret M. Locke, The Mindful Body. The first Justice Harlan cautioned long ago that it is the duty of all courts of justice to take care, for the general good of the community, that hard cases do not make bad law. Courts should observe a similar caution with regard to easy cases. An easy case is especially likely to make bad law when it is unnecessarily transformed into a hard case. Justice John Paul Stevens. A central assertion of this book is that racism, unjust and avoidable discrimination based on race and ethnicity alone, is a fundamental cause of destructive and even deadly health disparities in America. The question of whether the law should prohibit racism in healthcare would seem to present an easy case for courts and legislators. Yes, in healthcare, treating people unfairly based on their race or ethnicity should be illegal. Because physical and mental health are the most basic requirements for any individual to compete fairly for all other resources and benefits of life, the law should unquestionably preclude prejudices from sabotaging an individual's lifelong endeavors. All Americans deserve an equal opportunity to be healthy without regard to race, color, or ethnicity. Thus, one might expect to find an easy consensus on the importance of legally regulating racial and ethnic discrimination in healthcare. But no such consensus exists.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?